So the nice thing is we keep revisiting the tools, we keep going to another layer of it, we keep looking at things that are changing. The way AI is changing so quickly, you have to start being agile and pivoting with it.
Well, your company is going to be overtaken by other companies that are implementing AI or using AI or integrated AI a lot better than you. So you can't avoid it. It is definitely the biggest shift in the business world in probably the last 10 or 20 years.
No, get away from the freebies. I think a lot of people want to try stuff out in the freebie space. You are wasting your time. We've got to understand in the world, nobody has Facebook or the big servers or cloud stuff where you can upload images and pictures to for free. They are trading your data for something there.
Before we start this podcast, will you please like, follow, and subscribe to the Right Place podcast right here on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Rudolf and I would also love to connect with you on LinkedIn, so look us up there too. Thank you. Cheers. Welcome to the Right Place podcast. My guest today is Samantha Henrich. She's a fractional CIO, an AI and IT strategist, and has over two decades of experience in enterprise application implementations, PMO leadership, and global digital transformations. Sam specializes in crafting scalable solutions that optimize business processes, drive growth, and future-proof operations through AI strategy, AI implementation, cloud technologies, and cybersecurity. She's also a founding member of the LACA Network, like myself, and is passionate about empowering South Africans on a global stage while delivering innovative, results-driven IT strategies that make a real impact. Talking about the stage, Sam is speaking at the upcoming IT Web Summit in Sandton in the first week of June, and she's speaking on the topic AI adoption and strategies for SMEs and what it means to business leaders. If you've ever wondered how AI can help your business without drowning in tech jargon, this episode is your shortcut to clarity. Lovely to talk to you today, Sam.
Thank you for having me.
Excellent. Now, Sam, you told me your word for 2025 is amplify, and the quote that is front and center for you this year is, you can't scale chaos, but you can scale clarity. That's what you build, right? You build clear systems and strategies that create space for growth.
Absolutely. It's sometimes people actually think we have to go a little bit backwards to go forward. And I think that's where the secret sauce, you know, the cliche words and those kind of things, that's where the information lies. You've got to go back to the data to move forward to progress.
No, excellent. And I mean, when most people think about AI at the moment, they think chaos. They're thinking funny images. They're thinking ChatGPT prompts. It's all very, very overwhelming. How do we begin to find clarity in the AI space?
Oh, great question. So to find clarity is, you know, I'm really chuffed that a lot of people are open to dipping their toe and getting onto ChatGPT, you know, are inquiring about it. Oh, I want an agent, even if they don't even know what an agent means. So I love that openness about it. But the big thing for me is I think we need to come back to a human first and understanding the human role in your business. And I think there's been this sort of evolution since the industrial evolution where we had sort of the change of humans doing the labor into machinery doing the labor. And then we sort of just got on with the machines did this, humans did this, and that's how we do business. And we, you know, go forward. And I think a lot of the repetitive, time-sucking tasks that we've gotten used to doing on our computers and stuff like that has just become the norm. And I think, you know, what we need to do is sort of go back to the drawing board, go back to your workflow, your business structure, and understand what do your humans, your important people in your business do, and you know, what is repetitive, what can we automate, and what can we AI-fy? And I think that's a good starting point. Everyone wants to rush out and put on the next shiny tool or get this or get that, and that's not the right answer. Go back and understand where your staff are, where you are, and where that ready, I call it the raw, it's ready, able, and willingness practices for your business.
No, I think that's great advice. And actually to spend the time to invest upfront in terms of what can you automate and what can you do, because a lot of people, I think, they want a short circuit, they want instant results. And those instant results might be taking you further away from your right place or further away from your niche or your or the right product that you should be developing or the service that you should be offering. So in terms of galvanizing your team and getting everyone on the same page, what are maybe one or two things that business owners can do just to start the process?
Yeah, so there's two key things in this space. So first thing is identify what is internal facing AI and what is external. So the difference between the two is external is what are you adding into your product or service to make you more ready in the market space of your product has now AI involvement. So we'll talk about that later. But coming back to your question, the other one is understanding what is the internal mechanisms of AI. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you want AI to come to your business to change your bottom line, make you more efficient, that kind of stuff. So it starts with the internal process. So first of all, one of the things I recommend is start doing a 30-minute call twice a week with your team, asking what's your experience with AI, who's played with ChatGPT, who's done this, what tools are you looking at? We do it in our environment, in my business. We each have a show and tell. And I do a teaching. So we're also bringing the knowledge in and understanding. And I also ask questions. Hey, guys, what do you do that you do in a repetitive manner? What can we change? And the other thing is also starting to understand where the data lies. So I think a big thing is understanding what data is. So data is a conversation you have with somebody. Data is a piece of paper you've written words on it. And data is what we capture on our computer. So I think what's forcing us in the AI era is putting that data into an accessible environment. So is my workflow process always in my head or have my staff documented it? So coming back to understand, can I visually see how my process and mechanism works in my business? And then I will maybe be able to start plugging on automation and AI afterwards. Having these disparate areas of data, you can't move forward. You need to start finding a consolidated place for that.
No, I think it's so true what you said there about data, because the goal that you're looking for and the truth of how your business is actually functioning lies in the data. And I think the legacy business owner, they run their business on gut and feel. They know what their customers want. They feel what the industry is doing, but the data is going to probably tell a different story. And what better way to use the data than with AI and extract some nuggets of gold or truth that your team can then implement and adjust the sales to make sure you're hitting the right marks.
Yeah, absolutely. The AI gives you the patterns. You know, it can do it a lot quicker. We're not data scientists. We're not analytics people. You know, the gut and the feel is what makes the creative side of a business juicy, but the patterns and the analytics is what we can get as an advantage from what AI can give us.
That's excellent. And now, Sam, you're also a fractional CIO. Is that something that you see coming more and more to the forefront, fractional leadership, especially in the age of AI?
Yeah, I think what AI is transforming is businesses are going to be smaller. We're not going to have these large conglomerate businesses anymore. I'm not saying it's going to be a one-man billion-dollar business. I still think there's going to need 10, 20, maybe even 100, but we're not looking in the hundreds of thousands anymore. Businesses, I think, can Bolt is an AI business that started up with, they've got 10 people. There's a lot of these small billion-dollar or million-dollar businesses that are starting up with 10 and less. And I think what fulfills the fractional space in the CFO space, in the CIO spaces, the founder can't fulfill those roles because they're busy driving the business. So those fractional requirements will be a lot more in demand. And I think that's one of the positions I love because I like being involved in different arenas of business. So I've got multiple companies that I work for in a fractional space. So I get to keep, you know, upskilling new adventures, new interests, new projects. So yes, I do think it's going to be a big thing coming into the space because people don't want to hire a full team anymore because they don't need to. They can leverage AI with a bit of, you know, that consulting component added to it.
Yes, I'm a big fan of fractional leaders, and I think that can really accelerate the growth of your business because they just take that pressure off the founder, off the business owner. You let the business owner do what they do best, and you just take the weight off their shoulders and the team's shoulders, because I think the business owners are also they're frantic and they're feeling the pressure to get everything done and to operate in the AI space and the tech world and everything like that. But if you bring on qualified people, then you can really scale faster, but you can also scale doing the right things. And I mean, this is what I've I've seen you doing. You're working with startups and scale-ups, turning chaos into clarity. What are some of the biggest challenges and the biggest problems that you're solving for your clients currently?
I think it's moving away from the traditional way of how things work. Understanding when to pivot. You know, a lot of my clients operate in a big ERP enterprise space, so they've got these large systems to facilitate manufacturing, or they're in their health, but in the health divisions. So also knowing what can actually add value and how they can pivot quickly, because you know there's a lot of technology boom happening right now. Where you know last year they clocked, I think, about 15,000 AI products up. This year they've clocked 34,000 products, and also knowing what products are going to add value to a business or just distract you. So I think the value add is having a clear strategy, not rushing off, starting slowly, you know, that whole crawl, walk, run scenario, and making sure you have incremental measurement of what you're doing. So if we put something in, whether it's just a prompt engineering training, or if you just put a tweak of automation in your finance department that automates timesheet capturing or something like that, you can measure in 3 months' time, oh, we've got a 4-hour return on time for that department. So it's these small little tweaks is, I think, what's going to start enhancing them to pivot quickly into the AI era.
No, I think that's excellent. And I think also, I mean, one of the things you've told me is that there's a big misconception out there that AI is only for big tech. But what you say now, that any size of business, any shape of business can actually embrace AI.
Yeah, it's actually one of my big passions. And, you know, I feel really connected to the solopreneur and entrepreneur, that unfair advantage of those big, large IT budgets that the larger companies have. You don't need that anymore now with AI out there. You can scale just as quickly as they can, maybe even quicker, because you don't have all the policies and red tapes and stuff. So I really see this unfair advantage leveraging for everybody, which makes me very excited for the small guys, if you can call it that.
No, wonderful. I really like what you said there. And I also think it's important that you don't just skip the strategy part, because like you mentioned, there's thousands of AI tools out there, and it's easy to just to grab something and it looks good and it's shiny and it's flashy and the graphics are amazing, or the promises it makes are amazing. But you can easily plug in the wrong tool. You can plug in the wrong tool, you commit resources, it costs a fortune. Let's take it back to the strategy side. What are some of the key things that I should look out for in terms of planning my strategy on how to use AI to grow my business or just to enhance how I do my business?
Yeah. So I think let's start with data first. So that's the key. That's your key foundation of everything. So first of all, understanding what is your data landscape. So are you a recruiter that has data with CVs and personal information on? Where does that sit with GDPR and compliance? And, you know, is the tool you're going to use compliant to go and feed the data in so it can help you analyze CVs, for an example? So there's that landscape. Then it's your internal data. Are you comfortable with sharing your IP? And I think what's happening a lot now is we need to get out of that worried space about my secret source, my IP, my this, and actually start realizing that's where the advantages lie in to get you into the implementation space. So, you know, starting out for a business, my recommendation is go get an understanding of your data. Understand, is it sitting in silos? Is it sitting in people's head? Is, you know, do you have an overview of it? Can you see how it interchanges? Does it make sense from your sort of intake onboarding to your financial system? Is there coherence around it? Are you duplicating stuff? And then the next thing is start off small. Start with educating your staff, if there's one or two of you, or yourself. You know, get comfortable on ChatGPT or Claude or Perplexity, whatever. They're all the same depending on your requirements. You know, each week a new model comes out. You know, get away from the freebies. I think a lot of people want to try stuff out in the freebie space. You are wasting your time. We've got to understand in the world, nobody has Facebook or the big servers or cloud stuff where you can upload images and pictures to for free. They are trading your data for something there. So, you know, test something out. Everything in the SaaS solution world, so software as a service or an AI app, is a month-to-month cost. So sign up that $300-$400, go try it out, go watch one or two videos on it and get comfortable with it. Because I think a lot of the blockage is we don't know what we don't know. So even trying to understand how different AI terminologies or tools can actually work in our business. Like, I think, you know, everybody's dabbled in ChatGPT, but I don't think they've started thinking about, hold on, this can start building out templates for me. It can start having, you know, I can have repeat use with it. It can build out playbooks for me. There's so much diving into that people haven't really, they just don't know that it can do that. So I think that's just bringing that awareness in and not being afraid to try stuff out and fail. And no, this tool's crap. I'm not going to continue using it.
No, I love that answer. And I think it's something that follows from that is maybe building out a full AI adoption framework. And can you walk us through some of those high-level steps or principles behind doing something like that?
Yes, absolutely. So the key thing is you know, understanding where your tech ecosystem is of a business. So yes, first thing is obviously having the founder-led CEO, et cetera, on board. So step one. Step two is understanding what tech do you have in your environment? Is it scalable? Is there a roadmap within that finance tool that you use or that CRM tool that has AI coming? Or is it something that you'd need to add an AI layer onto it? How do you utilize the tools? Do you even have tools in your environment or is everything Excel-based? So it's that unpacking of your tech stack, okay? That's step two. Then step three is a future ready assessment that we do. So we go through a series of questions, interviewing relevant key players in the team or just the solopreneur himself. And we start unpacking, understanding at what level is the business. So we do almost like a grading. Okay, their tech levels between a 1 and a 10. So say you've got a 6 out of 10 of the amount of tech that you use, Excel, Gmail, etc. And then the next step would be is like, how ready are the staff to learn new things? Are they computer literate? Is there only one person that does the data capturing and everybody works on the floor? You unravel that understanding around the business. And then from that, we get a key findings report. So we give that back to the business owner or the CEO, and we say, this is where you're at. This is, what we think your next steps would be. And these are the key findings. And then from there, we start building out the strategy. And then we say, okay, how quickly do you want to move? 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, do you want to do a journey? And then you start where you break it down into workflows by a team, a department, or a company. And you start saying, okay, this is my most time-sucking workflow in my business. So I'm going to go, I spend, I don't know, 3 hours a day responding to emails. So we break down that process, we automate it, put in a bit of AI where we can, and we start giving back an hour and a half a day. After 2-3 weeks, you check in, how's it going? Is it still working? Is it making sense to the business? So it's a journey that you hold a hand on. And as you start seeing, wow, this is really working, let's look at the next workflow and the next workflow. So it's not a big bang approach. It's very much a step-by-step measurable approach, but also understanding where you at to get to the future.
Now that makes a lot of sense to me. And doing something like that, I think, can really just get the ball rolling in the right direction. And I like what you said, they're building a journey because some guys want to move fast. They want instant results. Let's completely revitalize our whole business here. Other guys want to do it a bit more slower, a bit more steady, depending on the type of business that they run. But how do you then you walk the journey with them for 3 or 6 months? But during that 3 or 6 months, the AI landscape is again changing and changing and changing. So something that you would have said yes to in March is now almost irrelevant in May. Then how do you adjust that strategy as you go on to keep you on the right path, that you're not just implementing what you thought was working, but you know that, okay, this is still relevant. This is still the best tool. This is still the best option.
Yeah, great, great question. A couple of things. So there's a vetting process that, like a vetting tool process framework that I put together. So it also shows, like I mentioned earlier, 15,000 up to 34,000 tools. So it shows the exponential tool growth, but also in the world of understanding technology, what are fly-by-nights, what are actually going to be around for a good, couple of years. I think we all heard DeepSeek was this big flash out sort of thing. Everybody jumped over for the 3 days it was online. And the amount of releases happening in the ChatGPT space, the OpenAI companies releasing weekly, it's phenomenal. So it's also making sure that you align with tools that are future-proofed in a way. No one's future-proofed, but there's more, the larger companies, the ones that are more open to having they call it open APIs to each other. So they're more open to work with other tools so that you don't get locked into an ecosystem. But understanding the landscape of how different technologies work together is vital. You know, tools that want to work together, you know they're going to be around for a while. Tools that want to lock you into just their environment, it's a no. So there's quick, you know, measurements that we do in a vetting process. The other beautiful thing is this lovely AI community that I've been part of, and this is where I've, you know, sort of learned all my knowledge. I got certified on a journey over the last 12 months, and it's a deep dive. And one of the beautiful things about this course and certification was it repeats every year. So, you know, it's you're a member for life, which I love. And that's what really attracted me. And even though it was super expensive and I took the plunge, it was really exciting because I knew this is a journey. It's not a once-off thing that you take. I'm a master of AI forever. That's not true. So the nice thing is we keep revisiting the tools. We keep going to another layer of it. We keep looking at things that are changing. The way AI is changing so quickly, you have to start being agile and pivoting with that. So it's understanding how to build a future-proof environment, not get yourself locked into a corner, but also being able to be adaptable as things are changing.
Yes, absolutely. Look, adaptability is the name of the game here. And you can't hate the game. You just got to play the game. Everyone is trying to play the game as best as possible. And I really feel business owners, you can shy away from it for a little bit, but it's going to catch up with you eventually because your company is going to be overtaken by other companies that are implementing AI or using AI or integrating AI a lot better than you. So you can't avoid it. It is definitely the biggest shift in the business world in probably the last 10 or 20 years, the arrival of AI. Now, Sam, you're speaking at the IT Web Summit coming up in the first week of June in Sandton in Johannesburg. What is the core message there that you're going to be bringing to the audience?
Yeah, so it's a cybersecurity summit. So it's around cybersecurity awareness and the different technologies out there. And, you know, on the one side, we have to acknowledge that AI is moving quickly and it's out there. But in the frame world of cybersecurity, it's also moving quickly into the hands of hackers and other things. And gone are the days of us thinking as a small business, they're not going to attack us, or, you know, why would somebody want my data? I'm no one. And actually, statistically right now in South Africa, small and medium-sized businesses are the most targeted businesses. So the awareness is understanding, yes, there's the positive side of AI and I can use it in my business, but there's also the negative side. It's being used by these hackers and criminals out there that are going to get, you know, a lot more smarter and quicker. So you need to get into that space of understanding that cybersecurity is not an option for a business anymore. Just getting an awareness. I think a lot of us get going, we do our startup, we start the business and then we start growing. Then all of a sudden there's three or four of us and then 10. And we haven't really thought about a cyber strategy either. And these are some of the things that AI can help us with, even if it's just a basic strategy. Anything that you have in your business, you can put into an AI space and get a bit better strategy out of it. And so those are the key things I'm going to focus on. Yes, there's the adoption of AI, but also understanding the risks and compliance and security components when you start putting AI into your business. I haven't mentioned it yet, but a big thing in business is also, it's called shadow AI. And a lot of people that aren't bringing AI into their business where it comes from the leader down, saying, right, guys, we're going to start using this tool, test this, or have a conversation with your staff around, or actually buy a license that belongs to the business so that the business owns the data. I can guarantee you almost everyone's staff are being innovative, which is amazing. They're using ChatGPT, probably the free one, but probably how comfortable are you that they're putting your business data in there to help make them more efficient? So that's where we call these things called shadow AI. So that's where the security comes in of like, how are you managing the use of it within your business and the adoption process and your data, whether it's yours or your clients?
Wow. I haven't actually heard of that concept before, but I mean, it makes a lot of sense because people are copying and pasting stuff left, right, and center into ChatGPT or any other tool, and they're asking for advice or they're asking for summaries or stuff like that. But like, that's your company data, and you need to have a policy in place. You need to have some processes in place, and you need to check that we're not being scammed, that we're not being infiltrated by other tools or bots who are doing a bit of industrial espionage.
Exactly.
No, wonderful, Sam. No, now, Sam, here at the Right Place podcast, we believe that your right place is at the intersection of your roles, relationships, and environments. And we just want to focus on those a little bit and talk about your journey, especially, but also the advice that you have for business owners out there. Now, you're a professional in the IT space, and you've had over 2 decades of experience in it. What sparked that journey for you? I mean, you could have chosen any career under the sun. Where did your journey and your role with IT actually start?
It's a great story. Yeah, so originally I studied finance, and I worked actually in the film industry for a while as an accountant. And it was very fun in the film industry. I got to meet some interesting famous actors, Colin Farrell, Patrick Swayze, Samuel L. Jackson, and it was really fun on sets in my 20s. And as I started moving out of that space into the more corporate environment, I started getting, you know, a little bit bored, because I felt a bit limited in the finance space, because I really am a problem solver. I love systems. I love new stuff. I love new projects. And I think in finance, yes, you often have a new system you implement, but once that system's in place, it stays, and you have, you know, a lot of reoccurring, you know, your management accounts and that kind of stuff. I'm very grateful for it because it gave me a really great foundation understanding all business leads back to the finance department. So if you can understand how that flow comes back, it just, you know, almost opens you up. So I got an opportunity to work in a finance department, implementing their procurement process for them. And it was a 3-month contract. And I at the same time got a job as a full-time management accountant for another company. And I took the 3-month contract, and my dad was really upset with me. He was like, I can't believe you're taking a 3-month contract. How do you know you're going to have to look for a job in 3 months' time? And I landed up becoming their group IT manager, and I was with the company for 10 years. So it evolved. It gave me the platform to grow in my IT journey. It was a commercial farming company that had 30 large farms across South Africa. So I really got to dive deep into the production, the exported fruits. So I got to put different systems in place, start bringing IoT into the environment, and obviously roll out loads of different projects in IT. So it's been a great journey.
I love that story. That's fascinating. Look, I mean, I also come from a finance background. I appreciate the foundation, but I agree with you. It's not the most exciting work under the sun. And hopefully all the robots are going to take over all the finance functions, so we can be a lot more creative and implement a lot more cooler stuff. Now, Sam, during this journey, and there's this big transition from like finance to the IT space now, what were some of the key relationships that you had, or people that came alongside you to just give you a bit of motivation or a bit of positivity to make these big career decisions that you ended up making?
Yeah, I've been very lucky. I've always had a great mentor at the right time. So I had an amazing mentor. He was the CFO of the company, and he was very system orientated. So he was really forward thinking and a futurist. So he was very hard and harsh, but very well. I thank him to this day for his foundation that he gave me. But I think even more so is also understanding your role in IT. So your role is very it's dynamic. So you've got to be a bridge to the leadership to understand why you're doing certain things. But then you've also got to come to the level of your user, whether it's a farm laborer, a till operator in a retail environment, because I've worked for retail stores. So you've got to adjust your different connection and communication levels to get that bridge that you're basically doing, because a lot of people get very overwhelmed by technology, and it pushes a few buttons in them. So you've got to just find that gauge, find that balance, and so having the right mentors and just loving working with people and connecting, I think, has been a very positive game changer for me.
Okay, excellent. And now, also talking about different environments that you've worked in, what have been some of the best environments that you've worked in where you can absolutely flourish? And then maybe some of the negative environments or environments that you felt have put you in the corner or have not let you do the things that you want to do. What did you learn by working in those different environments?
I always feel all of my environments have been super expansive for me, for myself. I've grown exponentially in each of my roles. I definitely feel the growth is kind of gotten a lot quicker as I've become an entrepreneur. So, you know, I've been on this entrepreneurship journey for almost 5 years now, and it's a whole different monster, but I'll get to that in a second. So through my career and opting to work in the corporate after leaving the agri-tech space, I went into the biotech space in a global role. So I got to travel a lot, which gave me a very big a foundational experience of feeling different cultures and how they do technology and the different ways of getting stuff done. So that was phenomenal for me. And then I went into a very large retailer afterwards, working with them, and had a very large team and understanding working with 250 stores operating 7 days a week, selling big turnover of amazing equipment and clothing and all of that jazz. So everything had its challenges. A lot of the, you know, times I had very challenging experiences there, but I also can look back on and be so grateful for it because it's made me a better leader than I am today. You know, it's not fun having to fire somebody. It's not fun having to, you know, stand up to someone and saying you're doing something wrong, and especially in a corporate environment where there's lots of politics. So it really did stretch me. I know that. I'm really glad I did it, and it's, you know, I think I got out at the right time. Personally, I think for me, even though I was really growing well in my corporate career, I just felt that it was time for something new. And yeah, so I think for me is taking those lessons. They were probably sound very lightly as I'm speaking about them now. They're probably quite hardcore while they're happening in that time. But yeah, I'm really, really grateful for them. And it's gotten me out of that space where I'm very clear on where I want to be now. Within a working environment, having space, having freedom, having connection.
Oh, wonderful. No, I love that. I love that share from you now. And I really believe that all of that contributes to your story. All of these little things that happen along the way, be it good or bad, it all contributes to who you are. And it colors in your world and it colors in your network. And talking about network, you and I met through the LACA Network, which is a global movement to connect South Africans and their businesses, not just locally in South Africa, but also around the world. Tell me about your journey and how you ended up becoming a member of the LACA Network and what has been your experience so far.
Yeah, so yes. So I moved up to the Garden Routes about a year ago. So it's quite isolated here. You know, Cape Town's buzzing. You can go see people. And I just started itching, you know, like I need to sort of put myself out there and connect a bit more. It's quite lonely as an entrepreneur. The posts kept coming past my thread on LinkedIn, and I was like, wow, I was really attracted to this. So I first saw posts about a month before I joined, and then I was like, okay, maybe I should do it, maybe I shouldn't. And then I came to one of the webinars that Renia gave, and I was like, this just feels so right. It's just, these guys resonate with me. It just feels like the right space to be in. It didn't feel like a lot of fluff. It was just raw, real connection and South Africanness. And then eventually I was like, I'm taking the plunge. I'm just going to connect. And even if I just surround myself with these great people, at least I'm learning. It doesn't matter if I make connections or leads or business deal. I just want to be around. You know, there's that saying, when you surround yourself with the right people, thing you almost start to mirror it. So I was like, that's all I want from this. And so my intentions with it was quite basic and not, you know, intentional, but not like it has to be 10 leads or something like that. And it's been phenomenal. It's been the exposure, the connections, the realness has been just so amazing for me. And I really love where it's going and what's unfolding.
Oh, wonderful. I love that answer. And now, Sam, there's quite a few IT people inside the LACA Network, but they all seem to be in their own little niche, in their own little area of IT, because, I mean, IT is just absolutely massive at the moment. Have you found any cool collaboration partners yet or made some good connections in the different industries within the IT environment?
So it's quite funny you say that. So, you know, when I joined, took the plunge and went through that whole, you know, experience, and then I saw the list come out of all the IT companies, I was like, oh, no. And quite funny, they were the first bunch to reach out to me to have calls. And it's been so enlightening to you know, we all have our space, but there's always a space in IT to collaborate, which is amazing because it's so large, as you mentioned. There's so much, you know, people just think, oh, you do IT, oh, can you build me a website? I'm like, no, I don't build websites. It's a completely different segment to IT. So it's been so refreshing to have that. And, you know, like also just talk to each other, because we know, we can't be masters of everything in IT. You know, I've had great calls with everybody. They've been very forthcoming. Everything is about how can we collaborate. If I get this kind of client, let's, you know, work on it together. Phenomenal. And actually, my biggest fear of the IT companies has actually been my biggest source of mentorship so far in the LACANET.
No, wonderful. I love that answer. I mean, I've experienced the same. I haven't seen any real bad blood between members. Members are very supportive, very collaborative, very, they just love connecting and they love helping each other. So I think that's the beauty of it. And that's the beauty of the platform that Rania and Nick, Madeleine and Guy have like put together, that we're doing it for the right reason. It's not a sales platform. We're not selling to each other, supporting each other. We're helping each other out, and not just locally, but around the world as well.
Yeah. I love the thing that we do on, it's not every Friday, but it's occasionally on Fridays, where they ask the three questions around, you know, what did you learn this week? What did you, I love that. It's just, and the hiss around everybody wanting to answer, and just like, you know, supporting each other. And it's that little check-in, and then also giving yourself a pause moment to reflect. And then the group just holds that space, which I love.
No, excellent. I love that. I love that as well. I mean, I've seen it in action. Also, I mean, the WhatsApp group is so active as well. You ask a quick question and you get like 6 or 7 people immediately offering help or support. Sam, this has been a wonderful conversation. I just want to end off on a fun note, and maybe we can just shoot the breeze a little bit about some AI tools that are out there that people aren't aware about. I mean, people are very aware about ChatGPT, Claude, Perplexity, things like that. But are there any like fun AI tools that you're working with yourself at the moment that solve very specific little problems in your day-to-day work?
Absolutely. A big, big one, and I probably must do a demo for the guys eventually, but it's called Gamma.ai. It's a presentation tool. It's phenomenal. So a lot of us that have to do presentations or slide decks, it's next level. It also builds our PDF documentation and stuff. It's taken me putting presentations, taking about 2 to 3 hours down to 15-20 minutes now. So it's incredible. And it's also understanding using multiple components of AI. So maybe you do your prompting in ChatGPT, take it into this tool and tweak it a bit, and it even grabs some images and stuff for you, which are all AI generated. Amazing tool. Another one, a bit more technical, but also going to change the landscape a lot. There's a thing called vibe coding that's coming out, or has come out, and it's all around sort of letting AI applications write your coding for you to develop an app or a tool or whatever. I always like to look at different use cases. So I had a client a couple of weeks ago where I had to show, if I'm going to put AI into their product, how would it look? So, you know, I was going to, you know, go get a UX designer to go put some screenshots and da-da-da together. And this tool called Lovable.ai is a tool where you can throw a prompt in it and it pushes out an entire mock-up of an app within 3 minutes. So nice use cases if you want to, you know, show web design to your client of how the website would look once we, you know, make adjustments, how your CVs can look, how you would have an app, you know, nice conceptualizing ideas. So amazing tools out there. A lot of my baseline always comes from prompting ChatGPT properly and then taking it into these amazing tools out there.
Yeah, I like what you said there about the prompting. I mean, that seems to be the key nowadays. I mean, anyone can just get the free version of ChatGPT and you start talking to it, but you're only going to unlock the magic if you prompt in it correctly or doing the basics right. What are some of your best tips in terms of getting the right prompts going before you go off the rails?
So yeah, there's the key things is always giving it a role. So, you know, when you're prompting ChatGPT, give it a role, give it an outcome, and give it context. So there's obviously different segments of how you can do it to when you start going into advanced prompting. But you get such different outputs when you ask the right prompt structure and sequencing. One of my entire modules that we did on my certification course was all around understanding action verbs, the objective, and going back to school when we learned English, because that's how these models have been trained. So understanding the sequence and how you ask it gives you the correct and more powerful mega prompt, we call it.
No, wonderful. I'm really looking forward to seeing a masterclass from you on that and many other things. Sam, if people want to connect with you, if people want to set up a call with you, perhaps, where's the best place to do that and learn more about you and the company that you work with?
Great, thanks. So we are got a website. It's www.datasync.co.za. It's data with a hyphen sync. Obviously, we're on LinkedIn as well. You can find us there. And then anyone can email us at hello@datasync.co.za if they want to set up a call or a discovery call around our offerings.
Excellent, Sam. This has been a fascinating conversation. There's so much more to unpack here, I believe, but I'll leave that to you and your masterclasses and your webinars that are coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, please connect with Sam. Please follow DataSync as well. And if you're in the Sandton, Johannesburg area in the first week of June, you can meet Sam in person at the IT Web Summit. I think it's at the Sandton Convention Center. Please make a turn there. Sam, thank you so much for bringing clarity to such a complex space. I really believe business owners can embrace AI to help them find their right place and their business's right place in this very complicated world that we live in.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you to our listeners. Please like and subscribe. Please share this video with anyone or any business owner who is struggling to adopt AI in their own business. Please follow the Right Place podcast for some more, and we will see you next time at the right place. Thank you.